Abuse in Religious Settings, Both Sides of the Rio Grande. This installment of the series examines the clergy sexual abuse crisis through a binational comparison between the United States and Mexico, focusing specifically on the contrasting outcomes of similar cases across the Texas-Chihuahua border. The argument is that the decisive variable in these cases is not religious doctrine, theology, or internal church rules, but the capacity and willingness of civil institutions, police, prosecutors, and courts to enforce accountability. On the U.S. side, the case of Anthony Odiong in Texas illustrates how a functioning legal system processes allegations of abuse. A jury in Waco found Odiong guilty on multiple felony counts of sexual assault after he exploited his clerical authority over parishioners. The case moved through investigation, arrest, prosecution, and trial, resulting in a conviction that could carry a life sentence. The legal framework in Texas, which explicitly criminalizes sexual coercion by clergy as a first-degree felony, demonstrates how state-level enforcement can translate allegations into consequences. By contrast, similar cases in Chihuahua, Mexico, remain stalled or unresolved. Despite numerous reports of abuse in border states such as Chihuahua, Coahuila, Nuevo León, and Tamaulipas, there is little evidence of meaningful prosecutorial action. Victims face prolonged delays, institutional obstruction, and systemic revictimization. The cases of Aristio Baca and Istabel Valenzuela in Ciudad Juárez, Chihuahua offer examples of this pattern. Investigations languish for years, judicial orders are ignored, and clerical authorities appear to prioritize containment over accountability. In Valenzuela's case, according to testimony from a victim's father, the accused continued to serve in ministry even after allegations surfaced, later disappearing from public view without transparency regarding any internal church process. The comparison demonstrates that identical institutional structures, the Catholic Church operating under the same theology, produce radically different outcomes depending on the surrounding legal environment. In the United States, dioceses are subject to regulatory pressure, litigation, and criminal prosecution, resulting in convictions, financial settlements, and public acknowledgement of wrongdoing. In Mexico, on the other hand, weak enforcement and institutional inertia allow cases to remain unresolved, effectively insulating perpetrators from consequences. The article further reinforces its argument by widening the scope beyond Catholicism. The case of La Luz del Mundo, a Pentecostal church originating in Guadalajara, underscores that the issue is not confined to a single denomination. While U.S. authorities have successfully prosecuted its leader, Nazón Joaquín García, and dismantled aspects of the organization's operations, Mexican authorities have shown little willingness to pursue similar action. The organization's ongoing efforts to establish a political party in Jalisco highlight its continued capacity to operate within and influence public institutions despite its leaders' criminal convictions abroad. Taken together, these cases illustrate a broader pattern. The effectiveness of responses to clergy sexual abuse is determined by state capacity, institutional independence, and enforcement mechanisms. Where legal systems function, cases are investigated and prosecuted. Where they fail or are compromised, cases stagnate regardless of the severity of the underlying allegations. The article situates this binational comparison within a wider context, noting that similar dynamics appear across different countries, even if the specific outcomes vary. However, the core analytical focus remains the stark contrast between Texas and Chihuahua as a controlled comparison. By isolating variables, same type of abuse, similar institutional authority, different legal frameworks, the piece demonstrates that accountability is not a product of religious reform alone, but of external, secular enforcement. Ultimately, the installment contributes to the series' overarching argument: the clergy sexual abuse crisis cannot be understood or addressed solely through the lens of church governance or doctrine. It is fundamentally shaped by the strength or weakness of the civil institutions tasked with administering justice.